welcome to another Vox Talk recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. Europe faces a gigantic climate investment gap. Can an EU climate debt financing scheme help to close it? That's what Irene Monasterolo of Utrecht University is proposing. With her co-authors, she has formulated a proposal for a European climate bond. But what does this mean in practice? And what can these bonds achieve that other policies cannot? When I met with Irene in Paris, I asked her how big the EU's funding gap actually is, if we are serious about tackling climate change.
We do have a big funding gap, which we estimated in this paper around 600 billion euros per year, in comparison to what the European Commission deployed within the Next Generation EU funding for 7 years, which were 2 trillion euros. So overall, if you divide 2 trillion euros by 7 years, you get 330 billion per year. We find that the gap is roughly double. However, this is a conservative estimate because this gap is based on estimates of investment needs, which are rather old, in particular for adaptation. They are poorly estimated at the country level, and the few estimates we have from the European Commission date back publication in 2017. So basically, they don't account for the large and extreme weather events that we experienced in several European member states. Consider, for instance, the recent flood in Valencia, which had a 1 in 100 return period circa, or the wildfires in Greece last summer, or the flood in Germany and Austria and so on.
But even if the gap at the moment is poorly measured, we can be pretty sure that those numbers are enormous for the gap that needs to be filled. So is it private or public money that's going to fill that gap?
Private money is already flowing, but when we talk about should it be private or public, we should distinguish between the type of investments. When we talk about climate mitigation investments, mitigation aims at decreasing level of CO2 emissions in line with the temperature target, like below 2 degrees, Paris Agreement climate temperature target. Well, these investments are mostly in renewable energy or energy grids. And in this context, private is already stepped in. In contrast, when you talk about investments in climate adaptation, which are investments aimed to increase the resilience of socioeconomic and environmental systems to climate change, including current and future disasters, there we are facing an issue of investments which have the characteristics of public good, which require also some public policy decisions sometimes. Imagine if you have large natural disasters, so sometimes you should consider probably a relocation of communities or of activities. So this type of investments would require public intervention.
For the EU, that public investment, those policies, what has been done so far? How effective has that been so far?
There is an important program, which is the European Green Deal. It was very ambitious with the goal of bringing European member states to carbon neutrality by 2050. However, when we talk about implementation, when it's very heterogeneous, implementation means traducing this goal into projects to implement, well, the implementation at the national level has been very heterogeneous. And when we talk about defense against natural disasters, usually governments mostly intervene in emergency state. There is still little preparation.
Your idea here is to issue climate bonds in Europe. What's special about a climate bond?
Well, our proposal stands on 3 points. The first is to extend the current ETS, so the market for carbon permits to emit, to all sectors of the economy in order to have a plafond of revenues to fund the emission of joint debt to finance then climate mitigation and adaptation investments. This common carbon pricing will then represent the first form of common fiscal policy in Europe, and it will be a strong signal because on the one hand, the need for a common fiscal policy has been long advocated but never really enacted, and it's a kind of gap in the European design and framework. And on the other hand, it will be for sustainability, which will make our economy more resilient and competitive in the future. Then the revenues will be appropriated not anymore by member states, but by the European Commission, and will be used to finance the issuance of climate bonds, which will be issued not by member states, but by a supranational authority. Ideal candidates could be on the one hand the European Commission, because it has already issued, for instance, Next Generation EU bonds, but doesn't have large reserves that might be needed, like for every debt management office operations. On the other hand, we were thinking of the European Stability Mechanism, because it has large unused reserves equal to 90% of its total, and it has a financial stability mandate, but it focuses on euro area countries. So there are options to choose, but the idea is to have a supranational entity to make it a sovereign asset, so to be, let's say, associated to lower risk profile, and also to have a higher to high rating, so triple A, in order to keep the cost of financing low.
There is a lot to ask about this. You've already said that it's going to be issued by a supranational entity.
Yeah.
The carbon price that you're using for this, that has to be therefore common and treated in the same way across Europe. Which carbon price?
Yeah, to this aim, we use the carbon price trajectories provided by the process-based integrated assessment models that contribute to the development of the network for greening the financial system climate scenarios. In this paper, we use the long-term climate scenarios of the network for greening the financial system that run up to the end of the century, but also the short-term scenarios that the NGFS is going to publish next year could be an option. And the reason why we use these trajectories is right because of the type of integrated assessment models that they produce them, because they don't focus on optimal policy, but they focus on the carbon budget. So given a certain amount of emissions that we can still put in the atmosphere in order to stay within the 1.5 or 2 degrees temperature increase above pre-industrial time, these process-based integrated assessment models show how the economy should restructure, so switch from fossil fuels and the high carbon to low carbon alternatives by sectors and countries, considering the law of physics, technology available, and also policy, and the policies, this carbon pricing.
Yes, the laws of physics are the same across Europe, but politics is not. And so to achieve this, you have to treat carbon pricing and the system of ETS permits the same uniformly across the whole of Europe.
That's indeed the idea. And that's why our proposal is superior in terms of political feasibility than a common carbon tax in the EU. So it's less subject to political pressure.
So would any individual government have any discretion about how this is implemented? It sounds not. There's not really any room for that in the design, is there?
We should distinguish between funding and implementation.
Right.
Our proposal is based on incentives compatibility and try to avoid moral hazard and to maximize results for money spent. Let me explain you how. So the revenues of the extended ETS are used to finance the issuances of these Eurobond, which would allow investments to be front-loaded, because issuance, of course, stops before we achieve net zero, but it allows governments to receive money. How is the money allocated? Well, on two criteria. First, climate risk exposure of countries, and we have growing research showing potential needs of countries and member states in Europe. On the other end, they are also allocated on member states' ability to efficiently spend the money. So not only how fast they spend the money, but trying to allocate the value for money to each project. And this how well member states perform in this is analyzed and checked through a system of check and balances. So there are KPIs which are supervised by the European Investment Bank, which has already long expertise in this because it has been checking KPIs for projects implementations by countries, for instance, for the EU cohesion policy, but also for Next Generation EU. Then within the third point of our proposal, which is having this coordination of green fiscal policy plus common financing through joint debt issuance, this all fits within EU climate policy plan, a long-term EU climate policy plan, within which member states propose their projects to be financed that should be coherent with this long-term plan.
Let's talk money, Irene. How much is it going to raise?
Much more than what is planned so far. So right. Even in a business as usual scenario where we really are not ambitious on increasing carbon prices and having a larger extension of the ETS, it will be 2.2 trillion. But in scenarios of when we start the transition late, and late means towards 2030, and in this context, we know that the transition will be disorderly, then in that case, we could reach even well above 11 trillion euros.
It's a lot of money, but there has also been a lot of bond issuance recently. Does the market have the appetite to digest this?
The market still has the appetite to digest it. According to a recent survey of Morgan Stanley on 900 investors and asset managers, they say that they see an expansion of their green investments in portfolios driven by consumers' demands, but also risk perception and non-monetary values associated to that. So yes, there is demand. We also saw that issuances, for instance, of green sovereign bonds often went oversubscribed. So there is still appetite. The major problem in all of this is policy coherence and credibility on where the European Union wants to be in terms of climate mitigation and climate adaptation in the next 10 or 20 years. And our proposal tries to address this point to signal investors about credibility and coherence of the EU as a climate actor.
The money that's raised and the way that that spending is controlled, that's all going to be handled at the European level.
Yes, and as mentioned before, there is a system of check and balances. Countries that fail to deliver will not see money anymore. So this should also limit the moral hazard.
So this is a massive step towards fiscal union in the EU. Is this inevitable if we are going to deal with the climate crisis?
I believe so, because no country in Europe, being either located in Northern Europe or Southern Europe, will have the fiscal capacity. Also, we see that most European member states actually exited the COVID crisis and the energy price crisis with large fiscal imbalances, not only Southern European countries anymore, and growing public debts. Plus, with the reinstatement of the fiscal compact from this year, which still excludes a green rule, so for a green investment spending, countries will have very limited fiscal space if they go alone. And plus, investors are already starting to pricing climate risk to some extent in. This means that they might revise their ratings for countries based on countries' exposure to climate risk and on how much or how little countries are doing to prepare for that. So this would mean more expensive financing if individual member states goes on the market alone.
To use a climate metaphor, the wind's not blowing in your direction. Politicians are generally speaking becoming more hostile to deeper European integration in many countries within Europe. If this is going to be effective, you don't have much time to implement it. Is it realistic? Is it feasible to get this organized?
It is. at the end of the day, citizens requires government to intervene for reconstruction after disasters. Disasters are getting more and more severe and more frequent, according to climate scientists and to what we are experiencing. Whatever is the political color of a government, it will have to fund money. If investors don't trust you, well, it gets more difficult. If you want to go safe, you should go together.
It's a really good example of how the climate crisis is making us reevaluate fundamental ideas about policy.
And also, there are several financial advantages. So for years, Europe has been looking for a European safe asset. Well, our proposal will introduce the first European safe and green assets, which could attract also foreign investors. We know that money is flowing away from Europe, not into European markets, and also could be used, for instance, by the European Central Bank for greening its monetary policies. For instance, it could be a candidate for green tilting. There would be several advantages.
Irene, thank you very much for talking about it today.
Thank you so much, Tim.
There's a CEPR discussion paper that sets out this idea. It is called A European Climate Bond. And the authors are Irene Monasterolo, Antonio Pacelli, Marco Pagano, and Carmina Russo. It is discussion paper 52355 at CEPR.
Next time on Vox Talks Economics, can planting trees help reduce the impact of climate change?